Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you?
Jordan, I am doing well.
Good, good, good. It was a good weekend. You played golf, yeah. I played golf.
And we watched golf.
There was golf being played. The PGA, some good golf, really.
Yeah, the course, really good.
The course showed well, right?
It did.
It played tough, but not like stupid tough.
Yeah.
Penalized you for hitting bad shots.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And then, you know, it had that typical setup, like pretty mean rough, some lightning fairways. And I was actually pretty excited to see how the rain affected everything, because some people just did not fare well with that weather. Yeah. And others just took it head on and did some amazing stuff.
Oh, it was good. And like the setup, it was an old school design golf course. I love some of the different shapes to some of the greens, right? He had some square greens out there. So definitely an old style course.
Mm-hmm.
That showed really well. And it was nice to see after the rain, the fairway softened up a little bit so they didn't get some roll. They didn't get all that roll out of it.
Yeah.
But the greens... The greens were firm, but not like too firm, right? They were able to hold greens, but it was good.
I liked how the water, I'm not a proponent of overwatering fairways to make a golf course play shorter, but if you can find a way to make the fairways roll less, it really changes the dynamic of how the players play. And frankly, like, The scores were higher on Saturday, mm-hmm. as expected. And a lot of that was just because the course played hundreds of yards longer than it normally would have. That's okay. That's okay. It's just, but I mean, to think about a tournament playing on a course length of 7,600 yards, I mean, that is great. Well, maybe it was a little bit, 7,300 yards, but on a par 70, which is like...
Yeah, and Kepka's 66 was the best by two shots on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, he just...
He blitzed the field.
Yeah, and him playing how he did, like, he's fun to watch. Like, he doesn't get overexcited, but he is a tactician. Like, when he's got it rolling, mm-hmm. I mean, then follows it up, you know, goes 72, doesn't hit the ball, doesn't play great round one, follows that up with 66, 67, 66, 66, 67, which, I mean, was unbelievable. Like I said, it was, mm-hmm. I mean, surprised he only won by two shots. I mean, he gave a couple of shots back in that final round after birdie in 2, 3, and 4, then birdies or bogeys on 6 and 7, but then it didn't bother him. Like, I don't want to say it bothered him in the Masters. Rom just was unreal in the final round.
Yeah.
But he never got out of rhythm. I felt like he got a little towards like the middle, like 8, 9 holes. He got really out of sorts for him. You could kind of see in his face where he's like, oh, okay, gosh, what's going on? But yeah, does it. His fifth major, I mean, great for golf, right? Have the best players in the thing, putting tours aside, which we've talked about it now, that think that Live Tour is working to be something different than the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the top 15 guys still can compete on the tour.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Sometimes you think, are they getting enough reps? They're playing tournament golf. Obviously, the depth of the field isn't as high as the PGA Tour.
Right.
Yes, we can recognize that. But you still have like, 10 players that are in the top 25 in the world that are competing every event week in, week out. So that said, they know what it's like to compete against some really strong competitors. And those top guys on the tour also competed on the PGA, like Cameron Smith tied for ninth, Patrick Reed tied for 18th.
DeChambeau, T4. Yeah, T4. Yeah. I mean,
just a lot of good play from the Live guys, which isn't surprising.
No, not from those guys. Like I said, I think if Live Tour, if the players have any say, they probably will be like, hey, let's throw in another tournament or a little bit earlier just so they get a little bit more rep.
Mm-hmm.
Or they need to go find. And that's one thing that I don't think, like, DJ and some of the guys continue to play, right? They'd go play in some Asian tour stuff and stuff that they could play in. But Brooks and DJ and Cam Smith even said, he's like, I didn't play enough. I'm not, you know, because I think did he miss the cut at the Masters? No, he made the cut. I can't remember whether Cam Smith made the cut at the Masters or not.
I can't.
But he's like, just not there, right? So I think these guys need to kind of figured out. They're like, oh, it's nice not to have to be scheduled for 20 events.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they need to spread it out and play a couple of events.
I think it was nice having their schedule line up to be in the U.S., in Oklahoma, play in some, you know, not necessarily similar conditions, but something that was going to help them.
They played last week in Tulsa. They're playing this week in D.C.,
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it'll line up, like I said. And the one thing Liv's done is they're like, we're not scheduling over the big tournaments.
Yeah, still, which is, I mean, a big middle finger, really. If they were to schedule over the big events and change the way they developed their tour, that would be the ultimate. I did hear some interesting backstory on it. I know it's kind of sidelined here, but basically, Greg had nothing to do with creating the Live Tour. A lot of people think Greg was the guy who just came out and said, we're going to make a competing tour. It was actually the Saudi Arabian investment fund that went to the PGA Tour and said, hey, we'd really like to invest in some more tournaments and see a year-round tour. We'll pump, you know, money into you guys and do this. And the PGA Tour is like, no. We don't want it. We're fine. And then they're like, wait, what? You're kidding, right? Like, no. And then they're like, fine, we'll just make our own tour. And they're like, good luck, whatever. And then that's when they got Greg involved. And Greg was like, all right, let's do it. So that was some interesting backstory on the situation, that it really was driven by the investment fund rather than, you know, somebody's maybe potentially ill feelings towards the PGA, but I guess it lined up nicely.
He definitely, there's no love lost between them, and then, you know, fair on both sides, right?
Yep.
I think he tried to do some things, and the PGA basically said, oh, that's not going to work, and then basically created the same thing with the WGC events.
Yeah.
So it's good. I think it's all going to shake out. They say that this tour is not going to last. I think it will, just because the money behind it, and they're starting to gain traction. Obviously, they can't have what happened last week in Tulsa where the CW cuts off. I keep wanting to say WB, but the CW
Yeah, cuts broadcast.
cuts broadcast, and they were actually oh, I was listening because I've been listening to the Pat McAfee show, and they had David Faraday on there, and they're like, yeah, things will get sorted out. That won't happen again. So I think
Yeah.
they're learning, right? It's new. They're basically on their own trying to do all this stuff. Obviously, they've got some guys that have some experience with it. But they'll have to get some things kind ironed out, to say the least, because it's happened to the PGA Tour. Like these people are like, oh, look what happened. I'm like, it's happened to the PGA Tour. The same thing has happened to the PGA Tour before. And we said the same thing. Well, that's stupid. And it is. It's a live event. You need to have the flexibility to be, especially when it's coming on reruns. And most of the time, it's the stuff that's following it is reruns or pre-recorded that can be pushed back or whatever you want it to do. So that'll get figured out. And then, like I said, I think a couple of years down the road, we'll see where it's all at and what happens. So.
Well, I mean, back to the PGA, awesome event. I think they really set the course up great. I think a true champion was decided, and it wasn't that somebody lost the tournament or gave it away. Like, Brooks just played really good golf
Really
all the way
good.
down the stretch, and and he owned it. You'd mentioned that he learned from his masters, and I think that definitely showed.
Yeah, did everything that he had in his mind that he was going to do, that he didn't let on exactly what that was. But yeah, played great golf. I mean, missed a few shots, which you're going to do, made a few bogeys, but that's all they were was bogeys, right? He limited everything to bogeys. And that's what hurt. And Victor played great, considering what he's done kind of in majors, hasn't been there. I think a major's coming to him soon. I don't know that
I
it'll be
think
this
so.
year. I think his best chance really is because of how he good he drives the ball. If he can, he's getting the putter and the short game stuff figured out a little bit, and his work with Joe Mayo is helping him out with that. I mean, he has the one falter on 16 where he does the same thing that Corey Connors did the day before, and just a weird bunker lie, whether it was just the way the sand was, but it both of the his and Corey Connors shot on 16 out of the bunker that plugged in the face in front of them just came out really low, whatever it is. But he makes a double there, finishes two shots back, makes a great birdie on 18 to tie Scottie Scheffler, who finally started rolling in some putts.
Yeah,
Where
he
he's been
struggled.
struggling with the putter, like not bad, just edges.
Yeah, well, for perspective, from a stats point of view, he was actually number one in strokes gained tee to green in the tournament.
Scheffler was.
Yeah, Scheffler was. But from putting, where did he rank? He was like, oh man. Not very worse than the middle of the field. He's pretty far down there. It doesn't give him a rank, but he was not anywhere close to being in the top 10 of strokes gained putting. So when you're hitting the ball that well and you're not making putts, I know there's a trade-off there because you're hitting more greens than a lot of other people, but yeah, the flat stick definitely hurt him. Because yeah, other guys that did putt well, even Brooks wasn't in the top 10, but he was very high on the tee to green. He was third tee to green.
Yeah, it was, I mean, and that's what is, I mean, his last like last month or so, he's been off with his putter, and just tells you how good of a player he is from tee to green.
Yeah.
He stays up towards the top of the leaderboard.
That's what surprises me. Like, he's obviously pure. There's no doubt about it. But when I see him swing, I often think to myself, is that actually going where he wants it to go? And I should be totally just fried for saying that, right? Like, people should be keyboard warrior, like, just destroying me. But I see that and I'm like, geez, like, his feet are all over the place, but yeah, the ball is like within a yard of wherever he wants it every single time. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And it's not, and I played with, it was funny, I played nine holes with my wife on Friday, and we got paired up with this twosome, and the guy on the last hole foot slips out like hardcore and hits the best drive he did all day. And I'm like, man, you just need to do that more. You just need to do that every time.
Right.
Kind of what it was like. It's like, but it's what he's done. He repeats it. It does it. And it's
every time.
And it's way pronounced when he's hitting his drives, right? Mm-hmm. His feet are way quieter with anything 7 iron and below. Yeah. But if he gets his putter rolling, I think he could go on another run because he's just striking the ball so well.
Yeah.
Which kind of leads us into our picks, where I don't think.
You Hatton had
creeped into the top 15.
Okay.
Tied with the winner of the weekend, which we'll get to here in a little bit.
Yep.
Terrell Hatton comes up clutch in his final three rounds because he's shoots 77 outside of the cut, then smooth little 68, 69, 67 finish to get into the top 15. And local boy Finau struggled a little bit in the final round to push us over the top, because I had DJ and you had John Rahm, and I think Rahm was a seven over and DJ was an eight over.
Yeah, Finau was tied for 72nd at plus 15. And my other pick, John Rahm.
Yeah, John Rahm
plus seven,
tied for 50th. We're within a shot of each other, but Terrell Hatton pushed me over top, so now we're all square. So now we don't have to buy any.
Yeah,
nobody gets streaks right now.
Fancy soda pop anymore?
No fancy sodas.
We gotta give ourselves a reason to go play now.
Yeah, we do definitely have to get out and play. But speaking of the winner of the weekend, and it was exciting to watch, but
yeah,
may have been a little bit overblown with my Michael Block.
This guy should win the PIP this year on the PGA Tour, like, without a doubt.
Well, the thing about it is so he gets this, and now he's playing this weekend, and we'll kind of see the staying power. But this is where it's like he got to a point and they kept going, yeah, he's teaching lessons on the back of the tee. I'm like, in his on-course interview, right, which they're having him, he's like, I only teach 2 to 3 times a week now. He's like, I've played good enough to make enough money where I only need to teach 2 to 3 times a week and teach the guys that I want to teach. I'm like, so that means he's playing a lot of golf. And and it doesn't diminish that, because it's still to be at the level that the PGA Tour is, right?
Yeah.
You have to be doing it full time.
Yeah. He is playing competitively in his section. I think he's in the Southern California section. And, you know, I think he's made like $3,500 this year, which is not bad if you're playing in the section.
Yeah, but he's probably playing state and local stuff where
he's
probably winning some state opens and
he's
probably making San Bernardino 40 to 50. He's probably making 40 to 50,000 playing in local stuff, which is dang good. Right. I haven't looked up his stats.
But that's
he's not he's not in the shop. He's not on the lesson tee every single day.
No. And that's fine. That's fine. But the caliber of play when you're playing section events or maybe local opens versus like a PGA Tour event schedule, like that's really hard. Like consider it boxing. You're sparring against your brother or you're sparring against a trained boxer. Sparring right?
against Mike Tyson.
Like it's just not the same. And then you throw them in the ring together and it's like, wow, how did he even pull that together? And it was a Cinderella week. And that was definitely stayed.
It was good. And like I said, stayed with his game. He had, and this is, I think what happens to a lot of the PGA of America guys. The section guys is they get caught up in who is this, but he embraced it, right? Rather than going, oh my gosh, I'm playing with these. He was like, oh my gosh, I'm playing against, this is the best thing ever. I'm going to enjoy this to the fullest. And he didn't like let it overwhelm him. He embraced it. So like, say, we'll see how he does this week at Colony and the Charles Schwab. But I mean, I'll be watching cause it's a good story. I think like they were throwing up things and he didn't finish in the top 10, but it's the highest finish of one of the club guys in a long time.
Yeah.
In a long time.
Tied for 15th, which I believe is an invite to the PGA Championship next year.
Yeah, he makes a pretty solid up and down on 18 because he hits in the right rough, pulls one out left, gets an up and down from a pretty difficult spot left of that green, left and short of that green on 18 and drips a putt in that nobody had been making. So not diminishing his accomplishments whatsoever. But media does what media does.
And it was embellished for sure. And I think it's great, but I do think it was a little too much.
And we'll see. Like I said, if he does it again next year at Valhalla, right? Great. We'll see how he does this week. Maybe he rides that momentum and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, from a payday perspective, he pulled in like 225K just in the PGA Championship. So for most people in the world, that's some life-changing money just to do that over a weekend. So I'm happy for the guy. I should definitely give him a little bit more cushion to sharpen.
Did he get sponsors? Did he get it to the next two events? Because they showed him on the phone with the guy giving him the Colonial one. So what other one did he get then?
I don't know which one it was. I just read an article and they said he got two. So
good for him. Life changing stuff. Getting him ready for the senior tour. He's 46.
I think he'll compete. I think the best part was that he's playing irons from like 20 years ago.
I think there's seven. But to be honest, those may be the best irons that Taylor made. They're better than the newer stuff. Those tour preferreds are solid. There's a lot of even guys now who have played TaylorMade who play those clubs still. So yeah, good for him. Like the dunk ace on 15 was crazy. So yeah, that's like say not taking anything away from him at all.
I played great golf. He earned his pay.
He earned him some sponsors exemptions where he has a chance to make some more money and teach less.
Maybe one tournament a week or one lesson a week
now. Only the guys that he really, really wants to teach. But yeah, so good for him. And then the talk got this because Brooks has played in two PGA Tour events this year. Ryder Cup's coming up in September. And getting a second in the Masters and then winning the PGA. Brooks is now second on the U.S. sides point list for the Ryder Cup.
Heck yeah.
So, and in about 3 weeks, right, that's when the U.S. Open is, which I think he'll compete again. Mm-hmm. Just because it's another golf course that it's demanding, right? And he's found it. I know he's kind of switched a lot after he moved, but we'll talk about that. But he's found a driver and he's hitting his driver really good.
Yeah.
So I think he'll compete. Another top five in that. And if he plays good at the British, I mean, he could lock up his spot. So theoretically, right, if, and this is where Zach Johnson was like, he didn't want to get into it yet. The most basically no comment yet. Yeah. You know, nothing's, you know, we'll see where the points shake out. But I don't think you can keep him off the team if he qualifies, right? Just like,
I mean, if you're in the points, you're in the points.
Yeah.
So, and well, what was cool is that this sparked up some, you know, some very honest conversation between Mr. Brandel Chamblee and Brad Faxon about, you know, what should be done. And I'm on Team Faxon.
Yeah, well, and so, and I think when you watch that whole interaction, it was hard for Faxon to say, because he is 100% on the side of the PGA Tour, right? Mm-hmm. But he's like, also, you don't play for money. You're playing golf. He's an American. He's in a spot. He's like, hey, if he's there, I don't know how you can't take him.
Yeah, he made some really good points, and certainly some to Google and watch again. But the big point is this. The PGA Tour does not run the Ryder Cup. It is the PGA of America. And
whose tournament he just...
whose tournament Brooks Koepka just won. So if you're not taking the PGA champion, that's a really interesting play. Now, obviously, there is no money involved. And it's a country. And, mm-hmm. and I mean, those are really strong points. And it was interesting to see Brandel Chamblee try to say that they were playing for the tour and that people would be slighted because they're out there grinding on the PGA Tour trying to earn a spot. And then Brooks takes one. But at the same time, like, that argument makes no sense because he's earned one by points, by playing great in the tournaments that counted the most.
Exactly.
Like, oh my gosh. So great interview to watch. Definitely recommend it.
And there's 3 months. I mean, it's early to say anything, right? Who knows what happens, because there's a lot of points that still can shake out. But if Brooks plays good in the next two majors, he'll earn himself a spot. He's earned a spot, just like he's earned exemptions into the majors for the next 5 years or something, mm-hmm. right? Because of his win here. I think he gets into the Masters again.
Next 5 years, Masters.
Next US 5 years, Open, you open.
And British. And then, I mean, essentially a lifetime on the PGA Championship. I mean, when you've won the darn thing 3 times, you're going to get an invite every year, no matter what.
Yeah.
Technically, it's 10 years, but he'll get one well into his 60s.
Yeah, and who knows what the landscape is going to be at that point.
Yeah, right?
They may be playing both.
How cool would it be if, like, the PGA Tour came out and said, well, Brooks, you earned it. You have full exemption on the PGA Tour for the next 10 years because you're a major winner. You're welcome to play any tournament you want.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. So
it would be amazing. It would be. Yeah, I don't know that that'll happen this year, but
no,
it may happen. Like, say, I've stated before, I think that the way that the PGA Tour has changed their scheduling and changed a few things, I think they're creating a pathway for players to play and to be allowed to play in some tournaments, in some more tournaments. So, but it was cool to watch. Good to see. Like, there's a lot of people that don't like Brooks, and I'm not one of those guys. I like Brooks. I love his swing. I love the way he plays golf and his demeanor out there. And I don't think there's really any, because they even caught him and Rory like talking at the end of it. And they're like, oh yeah, see you down in Florida or whatever, you know, see you soon. So I don't think it's as big as it's being made out to be, like that they absolutely hate those guys that moved over. I think there's some guys that they're like, okay, I don't have to deal with that guy. I'm not, you know, broken up about that. And there's a few guys. So, like I said, we'll just have to see how it shakes out. But the US team hasn't fared well in the Ryder Cup in the last decade or so. Why would you not want your best people playing the best
Yeah,
for your
exactly.
country to win it? So,
And it's going to be hard for some of these other players that do consistently qualify, like Patrick Reed. He consistently qualified because he's played well on the PGA Tour, and had he still been on the PGA Tour, I would not be surprised if he would be in the points race right now. So it's tough to see the US team if they're going off of these points and not getting Ryder Cup points out of live events, then
yeah, and
it's kind of a mess.
they won't, and it'll be really interesting, because if a player qualifies, like if Brooks stays in a similar position, right? They take four captain's picks. They take the top eight, I think is what it is. So if he stays in the top eight of the points, it's not a good look if you say, oh, because he's not a member of the PGA Tour, which is not a requirement. For it, if they try to change that, that would be a little bad.
Yeah.
But it's going to be like, if DJ or Patrick or DeChambeau kind of sneak up into that, like 12, 13 spot in the points because they've played good enough in the majors, it'll be interesting to see what happens as far as a captain's pick, especially if they're playing good on the other tour and playing good golf. It'll definitely be an interesting debate when it comes down to it.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Smith might pull out another Open Championship victory, and if he does that, he'll be well positioned on the European side. Oh, sorry, Cam
No,
Smith's Australian.
he'd be Australian, so he'd be
Yeah, well,
President's Cup. That'll be next year, so we'll see
yeah.
where that
So we'll see
shakes out.
how that one goes.
Yeah, some
Yeah.
more stuff. But yeah, like I said, let's get through with the majors, and then we'll have a
Yep.
little bit more information and see what happens. But yeah, so let's go through Brix's bag, because like
This.
there's a couple staples in there that he hasn't moved
Yeah.
off for a while.
Oh, for sure. So, yeah, starting from the top, the Strixon ZX5 LSMK2 Mark II. Looks awesome.
It's good. It's
And
actually good. I finally got in. I did a fitting, and then I was like, well, I haven't hit that yet. I mean, I hit it once with a rep up in Idaho, and I was up there last year. Just the and it was the ZX5, but it was just the normal one, and it felt good. But I'm like, one shot, don't base anything off there. I actually hit this driver that he's playing, and it actually spins too low for me. Like
Oof.
it was constantly like at 1800, and I was
Oh,
like, oh.
man.
So I actually just and then I stuck the shaft that I play the Ventus Blue. So I put that in just the regular ZX5, and I was like, well, I could get behind that one. It was good. It's got a really good shape to it, really good look. good sound, good feel. The best they've done in a while. I know he didn't play. He was tinkering around when they came out with their last one, which was better. But he didn't play a Strixon driver last year.
No. This one definitely is better. I'm excited to try it. I haven't seen it or tried it, but the way it's weighted, or at least visibly how it looks, it looks like it's going to be a bomber. So,
it's good. But yeah, I was impressed.
He's got that with the classic Diamana Limited 70TX. He's been playing that shaft for a while. Mm-hmm. It's just stout. I mean, 70 gram TX is just, that scares me.
And he's getting, well, and so, he's got it tipped 1 inch, and it's 44, no kidding. And it's 44 and a half. So it's extra, extra stiff. But with his move, which, like, say, when you look at it, it's very upper body.
Yeah.
His swing is very upper body driven, right? And it's, and it comes a little almost like over the top, but there's not a lot of movement otherwise, right? So it just, it looks like most guys would hit a pull with that. And he hits a pull every once in a while, but when he's on, it's just a little
cut. I'd say that, what you're alluding to is, I don't know if I've studied enough swings to make this a statement by any means, but I'd say guys that are a little bit more upper body motivated tend to put a little bit more torque on the shaft.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you're doing that, then you're having a stout shaft is, I would say those guys do better with an overly stout shaft than, say, guys that are smoother, that are driving with their body more.
Yeah.
So yeah. Good stuff. And man, the trusty three wood, the TaylorMade M2. Like, MP2, I forgot that TaylorMade even made the M2. No. So the M2 Tour High Launch 16.5. He was an early adopter of the four wood strategy, and mm-hmm. he's been rocking it ever since. And then, why don't you round it out with what his three iron is?
Three iron. Oh, it's been in the bag. There's two people who play this. but he plays the Nike Vapor Pro 3-iron, which he has the Fujikura Pro Tour Spec 95X, which is light, but it's still a very sporty feel, because my guess is he has it tipped. He's probably got it tipped an inch and a half.
This thing has seen better days.
At some point it's gonna break, right?
Yep. But I bet he's got a backup. I mean,
he probably does.
It's been in the bag for, when did Nike exit? What was that like?
Oh my gosh. Finau's is a little bit different. I think they're like 1 year apart in the release of between his and Tony's, if I recall correctly. They're the same one, the Nike Vapor Pro, but I think one of them's a year older than the other, because they've just got a little bit different design shape to them. But yeah, it's not coming out of there until it has to. I mean, you look at the shaft, and the shaft, you can barely read the numbers on it because the paint's worn off. The
shaft is chewed up.
So it's probably the original shaft that was in there too, back 10 years ago or whatever it was. But yeah, it's just good. It obviously is good if two of the guys keep playing it.
Well, and it's interesting because I myself would be more inclined to play a real 3-iron with forgiveness rather than a driving iron. To me, the driving iron, how they're designed, what happens with it, it gets really awkward, for me at least. So seeing this is like a 3-iron right out of a set, right? So it's built a little bit more of a appealing look.
Yeah, it's got
And
more just a traditional cavity back iron type look to it, where it's a little bit smaller, because sometimes driving irons get a little bit longer from heel to toe, where this one's just more of a traditional iron
For
shape and
sure.
size, which is, why it stayed in the bag. And then he does have the new ZX7 Mark IIs, 4 to 9 iron. And then he has the dynamic
And those are
gold
beauties.
two issues. They are good. I play the older version of the ZX7, just not the Mark IIs. I play the older ZX7s right now, and they're good. These ones, I think, get a little bit more, a little bit prettier, a little less offset to them. I mean, not much. When you're playing that one, it's gonna be
It's
like
millimeters.
the T like the T100 and going into that type of iron, but plays the X100s and then goes into the Cleveland RTX Zip Core Tour Rack Raw wedges.
I was surprised to see him Cleveland through the entire wedge lineup. Because he'd been playing Vokies for some time, and to see that full transition, Cleveland, I mean, they make a good wedge, but I can definitely see there's some custom grinding going on.
There is some grinding, and I was actually messing around with it a little bit today. So looks like he's got the on his 56, he's got what they call is the S grind, where it's a little bit more heel relief and then a little back edge relief on there as well. And then he's got the low bounce 60, which probably has a similar thing where it's the S
I'd
grind.
say this one, I'm looking at it right now, and I would say it actually resembles very much like a T grind, where there's a ton of trailing edge, heel, and toe relief, and a little bit smaller pad up front. And you can tell when you look at the back edge of that wedge, it is not uniform out of the factory. That was some custom grind work there.
There's yeah, it is not your off the rack. It is a special a special grind. It's one of the and more wedge companies have started to do this. They allow you to choose this because when you go through, you can customize it and you can get some of these grinds. But I even think with that, because I even when I got my SM9s, I had them from the factory. I did the Wedgeworks T grind, where I had them do some heel and toe relief and leading edge relief. But even there, I had to go in and soften up some spots from their grinds. So every guy in tour does it. They want it the way they want it. So it's not traditional off the rack. It's not anything that you can buy. And if you want something like it, you're gonna have to go find somebody who does this work or know somebody on a tour track or in there that can do that for you.
Totally.
But yeah, it goes from 40, goes 48. So he goes the traditional pitching wedge instead of with the iron set. And then as the putter, it's got a Canon Trillium TNP2, which he's had in the bag for
He
a while.
a while since it came out. I think this model, I'm actually gonna look it up. We're gonna go back to our putter guide and see when that came out. So that was 2019. So at least 4 years, maybe 2018, as it might have slipped out as a prototype on the PGA Tour. But the T22 is a essentially a 22-year anniversary of the Trillium, the TEI3, that came out, as one of the first offerings of Scotty Cameron. And this one he really did right. I actually wasn't too fond of the commemorative Trillium that he did about 10 years ago. And that was the T10. To me, it just wasn't as good from a looks perspective, but this T22 is hot. So I'm a big fan of it. This Newport 2 shape is actually the same shape as the Newport 2 stainless, and so the Select, and the Select has a more awkward insert that kind of is like a chip that slides in from the bottom, or at least it looks like that. And he did the insert much nicer, cleaner on the Trillium T22, where it just fits right into the face. So it's one of my favorite Newport 2 head shapes, actually. And if I were forced to buy one, like you need to buy a Scotty Cameron right now, it would be a Newport 2 Select with the three dots on it, on the face. That Newport 2, to me, he just did a lot right with it. And so, super clean design. If I could get my hands on a Circle T, that would be crazy, but impossible.
Not impossible. No, it they're out there.
With enough money, anything is
Yes,
possible.
exactly. And then his ball is the Strixon Z-Star Diamond,
Yep.
which is the lower spinning Z-Star, which I actually this Saturday they didn't have any of the Tour BX, the Bridgestone Tour BX in the shop at Bonneville, so I bought some the Z-Star XVs because
Ooh.
I don't need the diamonds. The diamonds weren't exactly right for me. Actually, I think the diamond might spin a little bit more than the XV. But in the past, I've dabbled, right? I'm in the business, so I've dabbled. They seem to have a clicky feel to the ball, and the new ones actually feel really good, perform really good. So I was pleasantly surprised. I'm like, oh, this is a ball that I could play because, especially around the greens, is where you, right? I don't like a clicky feel off of a ball around the greens, and the new one, the new ball, doesn't seem to have that, which is good. Which is good for sure.
Yeah, no, it's good. They definitely have stepped up their game from a ball perspective. And I don't mind clicky. I play the Pro V1X, which is a clickier ball.
And I play when I play it, I play the one if I'm gonna go with a Pro V. But yeah, it's a I was impressed with their ball.
Yeah.
But yeah, so coming up next, we've got the Colonial and the DC Live event this week, this upcoming week, and maybe we'll get out to play some more golf. You played
A lot.
a lot this week.
Yeah, last week I played 72 holes over 4 days. I felt like a tour player for a moment, but not with the scores. But no, it was great to get out, played in a member guest tournament, and it was a fun little best ball match play scenario in flighted brackets, and then got out and played a scramble event with some buddies, and then play a little golf with my daughter. So it
Nice.
was good.
Always good to get out. I played Wednesday and I don't think I played Thursday. Played some golf on Friday and Saturday. So it was a good week for us playing. Now we just need to match up our schedules so we can play together. But
Absolutely.
yeah, it's getting there. Weather's finally starting to be conducive to playing golf here in Utah and the full tee sheets in the Salt Lake Valley and probably down in your way in Utah County or
Oh, totally.
showing that because it's every golf course that I've been to has been pretty packed for sure.
Busy. It's awesome, but
Yep.
yeah, I can't wait.
Good time to play. But I think that's it. So as always, we appreciate you. We appreciate you guys listening. just give us some reviews, some ratings. Feedback is always good. But until next time, we are out.